Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This episode of The Huddle is brought to you by the Athletic Club Oakland, a local sports bar we love. The ACL has shut down their entire side street, created an enormous outdoor space called the Town Gardens, and they filled that space with tables and huge TVs and their full complement of excellent food. It's big, it's comfortable, it's a great spot to watch the NFL, the baseball playoffs, and Warriors games with other fans while still staying safe. I love this spot. I love their food. I love their space. I love their TVs. The Athletic Club is now our go-to spot to watch all sports, especially the Warriors, and we hope you'll join us there. In fact, if I see anyone at the ACL in a Huddle shirt, beer on me. The Athletic Club Oakland, where sports fans can be sports fans again.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram. No Marcus or Maxime or Rusty today, but rejoining me after far too long, the host of the Locked On Warriors, a man who has covered Golden State for the past four seasons, and a guy who just recently joined my fantasy league, but hasn't said anything about what a great commish I am or how funny I am on the post board yet, Mr. Wes Goldberg. What's going on, Wes?
You had like a press release in our fantasy league.
Okay, exactly.
Which I thought was really good. I guess I'm one of two new people in the fantasy league. Is that right?
Yes, that's exactly right.
And it's been a while since there's been a new person in the fantasy league.
Well, just really the thing is that I tried to impress you with that. I mean, so by a little bit of background, there's a fantasy basketball league that's been going on forever. It's like 16 years in. Wes joined us this year and I'm fired up to have him, but there's a little bit of pressure, you know, like the second he came in, our post board occasionally is used for humor. I put up an article up there trying to introduce him as the new guy, thinking that I'd be like showered in praise and nothing. It's been like a week. Wes hasn't said shit about it. It's the first time we talked about it. So, you know, hey man, I you know how
it was really, it was really well written.
Thanks. Appreciate you.
I enjoyed it. I didn't realize it had been going on for 16. You told me it's been going on for like a really long time. I didn't realize it was 16 years. So the pressure is on me. Like I have to make a pretty good first impression on all these people.
I appreciate you saying that. And I'll also, because you're being transparent, I'll be transparent too. So I'm worried about you being in there. You and I, quick friendship. I really like you, but we're also just starting to kind of get to know one another. And you don't know what kind of a psychopath I am when it comes to competition. You know, like, dude, I've ruined friendships over miniature golf. Like, I am that guy. There was a period of my life where I had to start playing video games on the same team with people. Like, they'd come through and we couldn't play Madden against each other because it was just going to lead to, like, the ugliest of afternoons. Yeah. So, you know, I apologize in advance. I'm not sure how this is going to play, man. But, you know, I'm glad you're here.
I think you and I share a similar level of competition. I almost broke up with an ex-girlfriend over a game of Scrabble one time. So.
Well, tell her to stop cheating, dude. I mean, you know, it is.
She was cheating. She tried to use the name of a Pokemon.
Totally unacceptable. Everyone, please enjoy this podcast because it sounds like Wes and I only have about, I don't know, 2-3 more months of friendship before this fantasy thing completely destroys us. Wes, Let's jump in. And with the Warrior season actually, you know, being back and hoop being back on the table, we're going to go back to a segment we haven't done for a while. It's the glass half full. And what we ask here is pick something out from the preseason, even from the offseason that you like, but something that you like, something that you don't from recent Warriors news.
So something that I like is the Otto Porter Jr. stuff. Like through two games, I've really enjoyed what he's been able to bring to the team. I've been really impressed. Obviously the corner three-point shooting is there. All those things, he's healthy, et cetera. But more than anything in regards to Otto Porter Jr. is the nickname that I've found kind of making the rounds on Twitter and social media, Otto Corner Jr.
I love that. Absolutely. Junior. It's kind of hard to say. Literally, as you were saying that, I was in my mind trying to come up with it. And because I wasn't positive of what it was, I didn't interrupt you with it. And it's because it's kind of hard to say, but it is awesome.
It is Otto Corner Jr. You gotta work your way into it. But it's a fantastic nickname. I don't know if that's something that was there when he was in Washington and in Chicago, but I'm here for it in Golden State.
I will use that to catapult into another thing I like, and because he's one of a lot of people in this theme. I love the shooting the Warriors have added.
Yeah,
I mean, you look down this roster, and there's a ton of people who I'd be completely fine with them taking a 3-point shot, and that wasn't necessarily true last year. I mean, just from the top of the roster here: Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Poole, Lee, Otto Corner Jr., Juan Toscano-Anderson, nice. Malika, Mulder, Chiwisa, Galloway. And there are so many guys who are capable from beyond the arc. This year could be a lot of fun, man, especially with the pace they seem to be ready to play at.
Yeah, and I kind of brought this up on my podcast when they took 69 three-pointers in that first preseason game in Portland, and I was like, are we sure that that's okay? Like 69 three-pointers is so many three-pointers. And it kind of felt like they were just kind of crossing half court and then like, hey, we're kind of open. Let's just throw it up in the air. And look, they blew out the Portland Trailblazers in that win. So I guess it worked. And I kind of brought it up. I'm like, are we sure this is good offense? And then I took a lot of heat on it because Warriors fans don't like me for some reason. And
I didn't like you saying it right there. I mean, literally, I got a little defensive as you were explaining.
69 threes is so many threes.
Don't you worry about that. They won, and it's the new trend. It'd be like if when
that is so many.
Well, I bet, you know, this is an old reference, but if we went back to like the Bill Walsh 49ers and you're like, look, there's too many passes. They're doing this too much. This is okay. The new offense, Wes. This is the future, man. Embrace the change. This is going to help.
I don't know that 69% of your shots is the new offense. I mean, we've heard Daryl Morey in the past go like, hey, we're only like with the Houston Rockets with all the 3-point, we're only like, we're not even close to like the max, like, value mathematically on 3-point shooting. If 69% of your shots being threes is like the max value, I don't know if I'm going to enjoy watching that. I really liked the second game against Denver. I thought that was way more fun. They took 47 threes, I think, off the top of my head. And I thought those 3-pointers were of higher quality. I thought the right people were taking them. And I love that Draymond Green has been taking 2 3-pointers per game. And I think that is the perfect amount for Draymond, because if he averages 2 a game, Bram, that's much better. It's, first of all, it's twice as much as 1 per game. And if he took 1 per game and he took it like early in the game, then the defense would immediately just start sagging off of him again. Just be like, all right, that's the one.
Hold on for a sec. I want to check your math. No, you're right. Yeah. No, 2 is definitely 2 times as many as 1.
All right. Thank you for checking that.
I just want to make sure. I mean, we can't have bad information out there. You're absolutely right. I don't like that you've backed off taking shots at the Warriors' newfound 3-point competency. Because I was going to say the thing I don't like now is you, but it turns out that you've found the way to reel it back. And I'll add another thing that I like, and we're going to explore this guy a little bit further in a different segment. But just what Jordan Poole has been doing. And I'll give you another.
Yeah, we're kind of bearing the lead. Jordan Poole is kind of the number one story in the preseason right now.
There's no question. And since I've already made a very dated sports reference, let me give you another one. You know, he's been reminding me of is Gilbert Arenas. And here's why. Gilbert, when he came here, was a second rounder. And he spent the first, I don't know, few months being kind of nondescript. I mean, he could score, but he didn't really do anything that caught anybody's eye. And then towards the end of his rookie year in 01, they were a terrible team. They had nothing but minutes to give up, and they started him. And he had a little bit of success. Then he had a little bit more success. And then you could see he slowly believed in what he was capable of doing in the NBA. And then once he did, the top is off. Off he went. That next year he started throughout, you know, I think he averaged 18. And then he disappeared to Washington. But we're seeing a similar understanding of his skill set with Jordan Poole. You know, we saw it starting last year with the whole G League thing and the bubble thing. And then, you know, now you can see he's starting to believe that this isn't, you know, random success, that he can do this on a day by day basis. I'm here for it, Wes. I'm excited to see where this thing goes.
The thing, I mean, obviously the scoring and the efficiency stands out, how he's just sort of taken this opportunity to start in Klay Thompson's place and says, I'm not letting this go. You're not going to put me back on the bench until Klay comes back.
Right.
I love that. What I love even more than all of that is the trash talking and the level of confidence that he has. I mean, I don't know if you caught this on the broadcast, but who's that tiny guard for Denver, Campazzo, something like that?
Yeah, who everybody
Fiasco,
hates.
He was kind of like getting his – Campazzo was kind of putting his elbow into Jordan Poole. It was like, you know, they were trying to set up a play, and Poole was trying to get into, like, you know, somewhere like around the free throw line. And Campazzo was just sort of elbowing him, not letting him get to his spot before they checked the ball back in. And he's – like, Poole's like kind of looking at the ref and be like, hey, you going to call this guy on something? Are you going to call this guy? Right. And Campazzo's like, you know, kind of starts chirping at him, and then Poole's chirping right back at him. I'm like, I love this. I love this so much. And then on the next drive down, or a couple possessions later, he hits like this really tough layup
and
falls into a camera guy, right?
And stares into the camera.
Looks straight into the camera, and he just like gives you a look like, I'm here.
Love
that. And I'm like, you know what that means? It means that the game is slowing down for him.
Exactly right.
It's like, okay, you can take time to enjoy these kind of in-between moments in a basketball game and trash talk and chirp and look into the camera and have fun. That's when you've now reached a higher level. He wasn't doing that as a rookie because he's not supposed to, because he's a rookie. The game is moving fast for rookies and all these things. Now in his third year, the game is slowed down and you could see it. He's getting to his spots. He's more patient, all these things. I love everything that I've seen from Jordan Poole. I've been on the Jordan Poole bandwagon from day one. I loved what I saw from him at Michigan. The Warriors drafted him as sort of a three-point specialist, which was weird because he wasn't a good three-point shooter necessarily. He was fine, but not like a specialist in college. I think they've finally found where to play him, how to play him. They're giving him all the opportunity because Steve Kerr has said repeatedly, nobody's worked harder in the last 2 years than Jordan Poole has. And I think it's starting to show here. And Bram, I mean, all of this stuff, it is, I know that the Warriors developmental staff and their track record for developing young players has gotten hits over the last few, kind of, you know, gotten panned over the last few years, but what they have done with Jordan Poole and what Jordan Poole has been able to do himself is a huge success, because getting a guy at the end of the first round, we could label him a first round pick, but he was 28th. You don't get guys there. Like, that's not a place where you get rotation players. They have not just a rotation player, but if it wasn't for Klay Thompson, a borderline kind of starter caliber player right now in Jordan Poole.
Working backwards, what's so fun to see is all those people who are taking shots at Bob Myers about not being able to develop anybody or take somebody in the first round, and who were using Jordan Poole as the example of why he wasn't good, are now just as ferociously saying Jordan Poole is a goddamn all-star and will be unbelievable,
They're not allowed on the bandwagon. They're not allowed. I was on it from day one. I was telling people from his rookie year, I'm like, look, is he kind of a jerk a little bit? Yeah, sometimes. Does he not know how to play basketball right now? No, he can't play basketball right
now. Wes, don't keep him off. So, I mean, you and I developed an idea. We developed an idea years ago as the Warriors bandwagon started coming up, and we said, look, you can be a Warriors fan, but they should have different color shirts. If I've been a Warrior fan forever, you know, I get the deep yellow. If you've just started, you know, maybe it's like a white shirt. Same thing for Jordan Poole. You know what I mean? Like, of course, people are welcome on the bat. We want as many Jordan Poole fans as possible, but I'd like some way. Yeah, I want some way to distinguish it if you've been here from the beginning. And also, your take on him looking into the camera is so on the money, man. It's such a microcosm of where he has come from, right? The amount of things that have to kind of conflate into that moment for him to feel comfortable to do that. Not just the actual and one, which was really impressive, but the personality trait to view yourself as enough of a star to be like, oh, the people at home probably want to see me, you know, wink into the camera here. The presence of mind to realize where even the camera was. I bet you he could not have identified that at all last year. So no, this it's exciting, but I tell you
And then helping the cameraman up, there's no faster way to my heart than an NBA player knocking over a cameraman and then helping the cameraman up. That's the fastest way to my heart.
You don't prefer him when they kick him immediately in the dick? That's not the thing that you like to see go down?
Second fastest way to my heart.
Something you don't. This one's kind of easy, at least for me. And it's not unpredictable, right? But it's that neither rookie is really in the rotation. So I know that neither Moody nor Kuminga are going to be the reasons why the Warriors, you know, return to contention. But we're all kind of hoping that they can make a little bit of a splash. And that would certainly start during the preseason. Like if at any point they're going to play more than 15 minutes a night, it would probably be now. And it's not happening. You know, Moody is averaging about 10 minutes a game. Kuminga's only at 8. He just tweaked his right knee. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's not a really bad thing, but I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more of these guys out on the floor.
I disagree with you completely here. I love that they're not playing these rookies early on. There is a level of urgency that exists with this team that we have not seen over the last 2 years. And I know that it's preseason, but they are operating with a level of urgency that is so far beyond, hey, James Wiseman, you haven't played in a year. You played 69 minutes in college, no summer league, no training camp. Hey, why don't you go ahead and start against the Brooklyn Nets on opening night? Like, the level of urgency and of commitment to slow growth that they have to these rookies, I am so impressed with at this point. There is no reason to put Kuminga out there in a preseason game for extended minutes or Moses Moody. Yeah, it's what are you really good? Like, what? They're going to play 15 minutes in a preseason game and all of a sudden be ready? No. Steve Kerr said it during media day, I think, that, hey, yeah, development is going to come in practice, in scrimmages, in film session, that, and maybe during games. And that was such a turnaround, such a 180 from last year where it was like, hey, Wiseman, just be the starter, figure it out. Which was obviously not the right decision. We could say that now in retrospect. And I love that they're just not relying on these guys. Now, there will come a time where Otto Porter Jr. Gets hurt. There will be a time where Nemanja Bjelica is not available. There will be a time where, you know, some of these backup guards, maybe, you know, Jordan Poole tweaks an ankle and he's out for a couple weeks. And then Moses Moody will have to play. I mean, there'll be opportunities for them to play during the regular season. But that stuff is just going to be like next man up. Hey, we don't really have any other options left. Hey, it's garbage time. We're winning or we're losing by 20. Just go out and go and do some stuff. I love that. I love that as a plan. I love that they're setting the foundation now because these other guys, I mean, they have so many new players, Bram. Like, they do need to get as much time on the floor for these guys so that when game one starts, opening night, they're ready to just hit the ground running. I actually think Golden State is going to be really strong in the early part of the regular season. Now, I don't know that they're going to end up being one of the top 4 or 5 seeds in the West, but I think right from the beginning, I love the sense of urgency, again, to keep using that word, but I feel like they're going to get off to a fast start for the first time in a long time.
I want to agree with you. I actually do agree with you, but I hated the way that you phrased that. I mean, if I remember right, you started that off by saying you are completely wrong. And I mean, you could have done that a little bit more gently. Well, you said like, I completely just, it was a pretty forceful disagreement. And I don't know if you had to do that, man. I already feel like the whole fantasy thing is coming between us. I think that's what led to that. So I want to agree, but I can't wholeheartedly. I have a ton of questions for you on this next segment. Before we get there, let's take a break to hear from our commercial sponsor. All right. And we are back. Let's move on to a new segment, one that'll be very familiar to you because I am stealing the name from a podcast we did together. I'm going to call it 5 Golden Questions, Wes. And really what this is, man, is our mailbag. These come from listeners. They get a little personal, although today we're kind of skate, nothing too ugly. And our first one is a basketball question. Wes, who should start for Golden State to begin the year?
Like all 5 starters?
Yeah. No, just 2 of them. Yes, all 5? What are you talking about? Why would it, like, that's what it generally means to say who should start for Golden State.
Well, I think Steph should start.
Good call. Okay, there you go. Let's move to the next question. Yeah, okay, who else?
One shooter. Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, Kevon Looney, and Jordan Poole. I mean, I have been sort of on the corner of, hey, Jordan Poole shouldn't start, and it has nothing to do with how good he is, but I just like the idea of just giving him that sixth man role and letting him star in it and own it, and then that way when Klay does come back, he doesn't have to transition from starter to bench, right? Like, he's already used to being that sixth man, and that second unit kind of just understands how to operate. Now, when Klay comes back, you kind of have this domino effect now where if Jordan Poole is the starter, Klay comes back, Jordan Poole goes from the starting lineup to the sixth man. So that bumps somebody out of that sixth man role. It kind of has this domino effect on the rest of the second unit. How do they play? How do they operate around Jordan Poole and all of these things? Now, I think there's ways for Steve Kerr to kind of skirt around that a little bit, staggering Steph and Jordan Poole's minutes. That's another thing. If Jordan Poole and Steph are playing together, then how do you score when both of them are on the bench? Because there will be minutes where both of them are on the bench. But I just, at this point, Jordan Poole has proven it and he's earned it. And it's just sometimes you just have to reward people for the hard work and earning it and the performance. And I think Steve, and I know that's very much Steve Kerr's mantra. And at this point, Jordan Poole should probably start. I have some questions about what that looks like later on.
But you can't ignore what he's done. You can't. I mean,
you got to reward it.
That's exactly right. I agree with the starters, and so much so that I'll just address the concern because I think you're right. I think what you do, and who knows if he's capable of this, and again, you know, we're talking about preseason success, but you follow the Klay mold. You know, during the dynastic run, obviously Klay started and was sharing the court with Steph. But when they were both on the floor, Klay was off ball. You know, he was more of a supporting scorer on the offensive side. And then when Steph came out and you staggered those moments, Klay would then be the lead scorer for the bench, you know? And I think you can do something like that with Poole. I don't know if he's ready to take on that large of a role, but we can certainly find out. And to keep using the word earn, he's earned the right to figure out if he can do it. So that would be my starters too, man. How many minutes?
I mean, it requires also a shorter rotation like those dynasty years had, right? So that means less time for your rookies. That means, I don't know if, like, this sounds crazy. And I think there's some Warriors fans who are like, you need to start James Wiseman once he's healthy. And that's, no, you don't. Kevon Looney has also earned that starting job. I don't know what the role for James Wiseman is right now. Like, I think he might be more in that kind of place with Kuminga and Moody where it's like, we'll see if he gets game time. Because in order to do what you're talking about, you do have to shorten the rotation a little bit. And Nemanja Bjelica does seem like the backup center right now. They love the floor spacing. And here's the other thing that Steve Kerr does, and that's kind of related to what you're saying. He likes to keep two of his best four players on the floor at all times. Is Jordan Poole one of the best four players? I mean, he is right now because Klay's not playing. But when Klay does come back, I mean, as far as just impactful players, I feel like where, you know what? I'm not ready to go to compare him and Wiggins. I do think right now Wiggins is still the better player, specifically because what he can do defensively. But I think Jordan Poole's minutes have to be staggered the way that you're talking about, and lineups need to be built around him the way that you're talking about.
We're going to go back to Poole. You just gave me a great olive branch to a Wiseman question. So we're going to go to Wiseman, but let me first follow up. One of the things I really like about preseason, I don't know, I forgot to put this in the first segment, is that Kuminga and Moody aren't really getting any minutes. I just like that. I like what it shows. But I mean, to embrace this theme that you've brought on, and I think you're right. And one of the things that we really bitched about last year was that there wasn't a identifiable theme for the Warriors season. These guys trying to make the playoffs, these guys trying to develop Wiseman, who the hell is this franchise trying to be? And if we take your observations about the preseason as gospel, and I think you might be right, if like they are screaming, no, we know exactly what this year is. You know, this year is we are trying to get back into contention. Maybe people will be developed, but if they aren't, that's not our focus. Yeah. Which leads then to let's try to answer the question you just threw out here. When is Wiseman expected back? And what are you hoping to see from him this year? Take that first part for me. When is he expected back? Is he the opening night? Will Wiseman be ready to go?
I think it'll probably be like a week after opening night ish.
Okay.
Right? Because he'll be healthy. And then he's kind of got to find his conditioning.
Get into game shape and that kind of stuff.
And we know that the Warriors historically take time with that. And I think that's, by the way, the right approach is to take time with that. So probably like a week-ish is sort of my guess.
And then, so let's say he comes back in a week. Let's give him, you know, let's call it two, whenever it is. He's back. He's healthy. He's ready for a full complement of minutes. What are we hoping to see for him? So I'll go first to give you a second to think on this. And if we've accepted, all right, like, you know, this year is not about developing Wiseman. This year is about developing the Warriors' title chances. What I'd like to see is a super JaVale McGee. And then if at some point, this might be asking too much, a little bit of David West. Here's what I mean. You know, we don't need him to start, Or if he does, same way they did with JaVale McGee, it's, you know, spot minutes, starter more name than in practice. He comes in the first, you know, 5-6 minutes, and then he gets in where he fits at. But he's a rim runner. He's a rim protector. And then this would be the David West element. If he can give us even a slightly reliable 15 to 18 footer, not a lot, a bailout option, you know, after we've gone around and he's left wide open from that range, if he can do that in like, I don't know, 14, 16 minutes a night, I think that he will be able to both contribute and push his career forward a little bit. Am I asking for too much? Have I picked the wrong skill sets? How does that speak to you?
I think that's really nice if he has any of that. But more so what I'm looking at, again, I don't know what his night to night role is. I think it's going to be a lot closer to Kuminga and Moody, where it's like, all right, if there's an opportunity to get you in the game, we'll get you in the game. But other than that, like, you're not the first big off the bench, even.
Over under 15 minutes.
Oh, under. Yeah. I would go way under that.
How? I mean, what are you thinking? How many minutes? Over under 10 minutes.
Like per game by the end of the year. I hate how so here's a quick sidetrack here, but I hate how the NBA calculates its per game stats, because a player could average like 16 minutes per game, but play in four games. And then like the other 78 games are like DNP CDs. Like the average should be a DNP CD should count as 0 minutes per game. And then you add all of that up and then divide by 82, right? Because that player didn't average 16 minutes per game. That player averaged 4 appearances in a season. Like that doesn't. So
do you have other stats that drive you crazy? I did not expect.
No. Yes, actually.
Damn
a lot,
it, I hate this stat scenario.
No, I think there should be a block attempt rate, which I actually do think that the NBA.
Oh, no, we don't have to talk about the stats that you hate. I was just more interested if you had some.
Yeah. Okay. So it was a yes or no question.
Yeah, it really was way more yes or no than anything else.
So with that said, I have no idea what to tell you in regards to James Wiseman's minutes, but I don't think that he'll play. I don't think he'll play 60% of the games. I don't think he'll play in 60% of the games. So here's what I'm looking at. What I want from James Wiseman is I want him, Kuminga, and Moses Moody to form like a rookie club, like a young guy club within the Warriors locker room. I want those three, because last year James Wiseman was like 12 years younger than everybody else, right? Like he was not just the baby brother, but he was like the infant child of this family. And like, you know, you had Draymond Green like trying to teach him like the very basics of the game, where Draymond hasn't had to deal with the basics of the game since he was at Michigan State, right? Like he hasn't had to deal, and they're trying to kind of bring him along, and it just felt like, okay, oh, he's walking now. This is so exciting. Like, oh, like he ate his first spoon of peanut butter or whatever babies eat. I don't know. And like whatever.
And it is something now, you celebrate, the first spoon of peanut butter. It's a big deal. We have a lot of pictures of my daughter's first spoon of peanut butter.
Smooth, so I would hope, that. Not crunchy.
Let's not be ridiculous. Of course it was. It's a baby.
Yeah, crunchy. That'd be irresponsible. So that's what I want to see, is Wiseman kind of form some sort of camaraderie and some sort of comfort with Kuminga and Moody, where it's like, okay, we are like the three musketeers or whatever, and we're it's not our time now. But like, we can't wait for the baton to be handed off to us. And I want them to start developing this chemistry that's going to be so important to the Warriors 5, 6, 7 years from now, right now. That's what I want to start seeing. So I don't care about any of the 18 footers. I don't care about any of the on-court stuff. I don't even care if we see James Wiseman in the game this year. I don't care if we see Kuminga or Moody in the game this year. It doesn't matter to me. I want to see that development being had behind the scenes. And I want to just see some sort of, I want them on the bench next to each other during games. Like I want them joking and clowning around. I want to see that for James Wiseman specifically, because he was just so self-serious so much time. It's so hard on himself as a rookie. I want to see that levity, because I think that'll be helpful for him.
Start developing a home here. Start developing comfortability. Start developing the chemistry. I'm on board for all of that. But I'm not giving up on this year, Wes. He is one of two people on this roster who have a C next to his name. It's Kevon Looney and it's James Wiseman. I mean, I know that the Warriors go small. I know that Draymond can play center. You know, I know that we're going to see some creative lineups. But I definitely hope that you're wrong about Wiseman missing 60% of games. And I mean, I want to see this guy get some minutes to continue his development. And I understand that that's against what I was just saying previously, but I'm hoping he at least gets 8 to 10 minutes a night, and if nothing else, is a rebounding force. I mean, if they can just use his physicality, you know, like not if no back to the basket stuff, maybe I take away that 18 footer I was just talking about, maybe not even rim running. If all he is a rebounder and physical presence down there, that'll help the Warriors. I hope that we'll at least see that. Well, but I guess
he's a lousy rebounder as a rookie and in college. Like he wasn't a very like physical rebounder. He needs to develop like that strength. That'll come with time. It's not really a thing against Wiseman. He's not very strong relative to his frame right now.
When he's learning,
but you're right. They do like outside James Wiseman, they don't really have a guy who has the potential to grab 10 rebounds in a game.
Right.
And I think that'll be important. But against Denver, they were a good rebounding team who were missing a bunch of guys, but still the Nuggets rebounded 40. They got 43 rebounds. Golden State had 42. Right. It's a lot of team rebounding. And it's a lot of stuff like that. If it gets to a point where the rebounding is becoming too much of a concern, I could see Wiseman getting minutes. And I shouldn't say that he's going to miss 60% of his games or whatever. I don't know. You asked me for a number. That was the first thing off the top of my head. But I don't think it'll be a regular role the way it was last year, and it shouldn't be.
I heard Mike Brown on an interview, I think it was with 95.7 The Game, but they're talking about Wiseman, and they threw him a softball. Why do guards tend to develop faster than bigs in the NBA? And you know, they were talking about LaMelo Ball without talking about LaMelo Ball. And what Mike Brown said really stuck with me. He said, look, these big guys, people of Wiseman's physical stature, tend to dominate in the lower levels without having to develop at all. You know, they just show up in high school and they're way bigger and they're way stronger and you don't have to develop anything. They put their arms up and they average a 30 and 20. And then they start to develop in college a little bit, but they can still use that physicality. And it's not until the NBA, when they're surrounded by people who, you know, have that same physical dominance, that they actually have to start developing the skill set that'll let them dominate or achieve. And, you know, so it takes him a little bit longer. And then he applied that to Wiseman. Well, look at Wiseman. Didn't get to play at Memphis at all. And then he got hurt immediately in the NBA. And so I'm holding out hope, you know, led by Mike Brown's stated optimism that maybe just give him some minutes, give him some time, and off he'll go back to optimism. How many points per game for Jordan Poole this year?
So he averaged 12 all of last season. And then when he kind of really got going, when he got back from the G League, it was like 14 and a half or something like that.
Yeah.
And so.
And it's 23.5 during the preseason so far.
Yeah, it won't be that. Yeah. But I think like 16, 17 per game is on a better efficiency clip, which is the more important stat to me than the raw points per game. That's kind of what I'm expecting.
Yeah. I'll say, Price is right. I'll go 16.5. So Matty Stats, put me down on that. Here's a question I was most excited to hear your answer to. Who do you think is the worst liar on this team? And if you want, I'll go first to give you some time to think here.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I'm thinking.
So I wanted to say Steph, right?
Yeah, that's
because the whole like
came to my mind.
Oh, yeah. And you think that because the whole baby faced thing and like you assume and like the religious thing and you assume that he's never in that. But I'm not going to say that. I feel like and there shouldn't be a competition connection to lying, but the competitor in him makes me feel like he has occasionally lied and would be sneaky good at it. So I'm not taking him. I feel like Damian Lee thinks he's a really good liar, but isn't, but I don't think he's the worst liar on the team. The guy I'm taking is Kevon Looney. He strikes me as that dude who, if he tries to lie, would start laughing, you know, like almost like immediately, and would almost just tell you like, no, and then just back out or not even finish the sentence. So he's my guy. I think that if you had to pick a liar on the team, you should avoid Kevon Looney at all costs.
That's a spot on take. And like the guy that I was also thinking was like James Wiseman. I don't want to talk about Wiseman more than we already have, but like, I feel like he couldn't lie. Like he literally just be like, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to lie to you. But Kevon Looney would at least like give it the old college try. And then you're right. He would just start cracking up right in the middle of it. You're absolutely right.
Like, you know,
can I tell you about my favorite Damian Lee interview?
Yes, please.
He got in like, this is the 15 win season. And I think we were in Chicago and I was talking to him about his body transformation because he like talked about in an interview how he lost like, you know, 8% body fat or something like that, whatever. And I asked him about it and I was like, what was the key to that? And he was like, I just had to stop eating curly fries, man. That was it. And he goes, that was obviously my follow-up. It was like, how many? He was like, man, I just love fries. I love curly fries. But honestly, I was eating a lot of fries, like regular fries, crinkle cut, waffle fries. It was kind of like the Forrest Gump scene where he started the different shrimp. And I was just like, oh, okay. Like a lot of curly fries. And like the amount of time we discussed French fries in that interview versus the amount of times I mentioned French fries in my article was not equal. Like it was like one line about French fries. I think I actually put Damian Lee eliminated, you know, fatty foods such as curly fries, comma, something else and something else. Right. But that was most of our interview was about French fries.
I love the idea that, you know, so like Damian Lee is sitting somewhere. I got to get my career to this next level. I know I have the talent. One of the things I can do probably is improve my body. It's like, all right, I'm going to hire a nutritionist. Sits down with the nutritionist. You know, they're like, all right, what do you normally eat, dude? And then, you know, like he's 8 pages in and it's still all potatoes. And the nutritionist is like, oh my God. Like, well, this is going to be pretty easy. You know, right. We're aiming at about 8%. And there's just one thing you need to stop. Like, what are you doing, man?
Swap the potatoes for a salad. And I think you're going to be happy with the results.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I need about a week. He just collected all of his money. You know, it's just, yeah, I've come up with the one amazing piece of advice for you. No more potatoes. There you go, Damian. I feel like you are secretly a good liar, Wes. I feel like you don't do it very often. You probably keep it in pocket. And I bet you people expect you to only be honest, you know, just because it's not really part of your outgoing personality. But when you need to, I bet you're very, very capable at it. Am I right about that?
So I actually would have disagreed with you about a little bit more than a month ago. I would have disagreed with you. I always thought I was a terrible liar. And I found that you're right. I don't like to lie. I'm kind of in the business of truth. So there's not really a lot of opportunity. Like I think there are people who do enjoy lying and actually do have to lie for work. Right. Like I used to be in sales. I have to lie all the time, but since I've been a full-time journalist, I haven't had to lie so much. And that's been an enjoyable thing for me because you're right. I don't like to lie. It's not a thing I want to keep track of mostly. I do find that I like to lie in a joking kind of way. Like one of my favorite things to do is like when my fiance will be like, hey, did you get this thing from the store? And my favorite answer is no, even though I did. And then she'll like get kind of mad at me. And then I'll be like, I'm kidding. I actually
disaster
did.
Humor. You know, like that. I hate those. Yeah.
It's a terrible joke. I understand that. And it's even worse the more you do it. And I probably do it once every other day.
I'm going to take it further. You don't have to agree with me. I'm going to say you're like John Wick of liars. Here's what I mean. Like reluctant hero. Like you don't want to, dude. Like at no point, you know, like you're not a liar. You don't want to be involved in it. Like it's not going to happen. But those occasions in your life that require you to, it's game time. You know, like John Wick didn't really want to fight those dudes, but like when they killed his dog, he didn't have a choice and he was incredible at it. I don't think you want to lie, but when you do, dude, like, you know, you're phenomenal.
I will stab a person with a pencil if I have to.
Verbally, right?
of course.
Yeah, it's like a verbal lie. Exactly right. We go to our last question. How does Wiggins' vaccination change your outlook for this team?
Okay. So I think if your listeners are listeners of my podcast, they probably hate me talking about this because I spent like 3 or 4 days in a row talking about this. But it was the biggest story in the preseason when he wasn't vaccinated.
It wasn't hated, Wes. I can tell you, I'm glad you gave me a chance to get some of this bitterness out of my heart. We, the people who are nice enough to support us on Patreon are part of a Slack channel. And so we talk and we share great jokes all the time. And over the last week, you got like 5 or 6 mentions of like, oh, Wes said this about Wiggins and Wes said that. And to the point, dude, where one, I didn't tell you about it because I got bitter. Two, it's like, why are we talking about Wes's podcast at all on this channel? It like, doesn't make any sense. So no, apparently not only were they not annoyed, but they really enjoyed it, which made me hate you a little bit.
Well, good, because there's a vocal minority. I hope it's a minority that just absolutely I've never had to block more people on Twitter than I've had in the last week. Like it's so annoying.
Can you send them to my Slack channel? If they have bad things to say about you, that'd be fun. We'll do that off the air. That'd be great. Wiggins.
I think, yeah, I thought it was easily the biggest storyline of the preseason, because if he didn't get the vaccine, he wasn't going to be able to play in 41 games this year. And I thought if that were the case, then the Warriors don't make the playoffs. It's that simple. Yep. Like you just don't make the playoffs. If Klay Thompson is missing half your season and Andrew Wiggins is missing half your season, like you don't make the playoffs. Now that Wiggins is back, the reason the Warriors traded for him is because he clicks all the lineups into place. Like he is the ultimate glue guy on this team. And without him, I think all the lineups just sort of fall apart because he's the only true small forward on this roster. And so, yeah, with him in place, I think they're right. My outlook kind of goes back to what I thought it was before all the vaccine stuff, which is I think this is a team that could compete to get out of the play-in tournament in the West in the regular season.
What's the highest seed they can rake? I mean, at the end of the regular season, where will they be in the West?
Oh, the highest? Like, what's their ceiling?
Yeah. What do you, I mean, like, if make it as optimistic and as rosy as you can.
Third would probably be, like, the absolute ceiling. Like, that would require, like, I think Utah is going to be the number one seed because that's just kind of what they do. They'll crush it in the regular season and we'll be like, oh, did like the Jazz actually, is it different this time? And then it won't be. I think like one of the Suns or the Lakers could probably get to two. Why do I feel like I'm missing a team? But like the Lakers thing can get weird, you know?
Yeah.
Like they could sustain injuries. Like LeBron's had a major injury two of the last 3 years.
They might lose to
same goes
to
Anthony Davis.
Natural causes. They might just die, you know, along the way.
Jeez, I don't wish that on anybody. Talk about a
oh, now you made me sound stabbing. Terrible. Now you made me sound terrible, dude. All right, we're gonna have to cut that segment. You bastard.
Phoenix, like I like Phoenix. I just think their rotation is really, really solid. But you know, again, like I don't think last year was a fluke, but maybe like the regular season wins were like maybe that teams start to catch up on them a little bit. Then I think the Warriors are like anywhere in this mix of the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Mavericks. I think you could kind of maybe throw Portland in there. They kind of scream to me as like a regular season success team that will, as Portland always does, fail in the playoffs. I think the Warriors are right in that mix. And if they're there, then yeah, their ceiling would be three, but I feel like they'll be closer to like six.
So to put these conversational topics together, where the Warriors will be and then the effect of Wiggins' vaccination, we're spoiled, right? We get to watch people like Steph Curry, generational talents. You know, our perception of what a superstar is affected by watching one of the most talented players in the NBA. We have people like Clay. We watched KD come through here. I mean, we have been starstruck. But one of the downsides on that is you tend to undervalue talent like Andrew Wiggins. I mean, he doesn't fit in that category. He'll never fit into that category. It's one of the reasons why he disappointed people in Minnesota, but he's still a max guy, you know, and to lose a max guy's talent for half of your games is not a small fucking deal. No. And so to now add that max talent back to those 41 games is a big deal. And if we now realize, because I agree with you, the West is weird. There are some teams that will absolutely be there. We know that for sure. The top teams like the Lakers, we know that for the Jazz, everything you said, I agree with. And then there's that huge weirdo block in the middle. I have no idea what to do with Dallas. I don't know what to expect from them at all. I don't really know what to do with Phoenix. And so if the Warriors didn't have somebody like Wiggins and you put them in that giant blobby middle, I don't know where the hell they come out, but chances are it's at the back end of it. Now that we're putting him in there, it at least gives him way more of a shot to come out in the top half. So last week we did predictions and we said at that stage, we were positive that Wiggins wasn't coming back. And I said, they were a playing team. You know, they were looking at like they make it in the seventh, they scare Utah in the first round and then they ultimately lose. With Wiggins here, that changes for me. I think that they're a five seed now, maybe even a four seed. They might have, you know, some home games or home court advantage in the playoffs when it begins. So it's not a small thing, I guess, is the fastest way to say that.
No, and if anybody thought it was a small thing, I don't know what kind of basketball you've been watching. Like that whole blobby group in the West, like, I mean, just do a one-on-one. Who on the Warriors, if Andrew Wiggins is not available for a home game, who on the Warriors guards?
Right.
Paul George or Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
Who on the Warriors guards Luka Doncic? Who on the Warriors guards like any of those guys that are in that little blobby space? Like you don't have anybody. And like, yeah, Klay Thompson will come back in January. And then we don't know what Klay Thompson's going to look like defensively.
Right.
So Andrew Wiggins, that's a really big deal.
Well, and even if Klay is Klay, he's not going to be Klay in January. You know, like it's going to, I mean, if he's Wolverine, even if he comes back and his body ultimately gets to the place it was before it got hurt, it's not instantaneous. He's going to need some time to ramp up.
And you need two wing defenders. Like you can't just be like, all right, we got 100%. One wing defender. Cool.
Well, and you can't, you don't enter into the beginning of the season with a starting lineup that, you know, features Damian Lee again. It would have been a hard thing to get over. So it's a hell of an addition. Here's the most important thing we're going to talk about, Wes. So at the end of each of these, I throw a softball, you know, where can we find more Goldberg in our life? And I want to do that, but I want to make a big deal about it because you're going through, you've got some big announcements, man. So mic is yours. What's going on professionally for you? How can we make sure to support you, to follow you, to get as much of your content as we can?
So a lot of things are up in the air, but I've officially moved to Miami. If your listeners don't know this already, I quit my job as the Warriors beat writer at the San Jose Mercury News. I am one of several jerks who have moved to Substack, though I hope to be a little bit less jerky about it. And I'm really excited for that opportunity because I'm going to be able to tell the stories and do the kind of writing and analysis that I've always wanted to do without having to deal with the natural limitations that come with working at a newspaper, right? And that's nothing against the Mercury News. I loved everybody that I worked with there, but it's a newspaper at the end of the day. And you know, it's not an industry that's not doing so strong.
Of course.
Right?
But so how do I do that then? I mean, of course I know, but treat me like I'm remarkably ignorant. If I did want to follow you on the Substack, what does that mean? Where do I go?
WesGoldberg.substack.com. It's a website that is coming soon. I'm not doing any work on that right now. I am doing work behind the scenes, trying to get it prepared, but you can subscribe for free right away so that when I do start working, you'll know about it because my work will get delivered directly into your inbox. No muss, no fuss. And that's it. So I very highly encourage anybody that's listening. It's not going to be Warriors content necessarily, but if you're I appreciate just, you know, signing up and getting on the free subscription list. That'll be fun.
I'm sure there will be some Warriors content since, you know, just to make sure that the listeners are going to sign up to yours. I mean, lie to them. Use that incredible John Wick skill. Tell them it's going to be
all Warriors content from Miami.
I knew you'd be good at this.
Whatever the intersection of Warriors content in Miami is, I have it. It's a niche type of publication, but I'm going to own that.
The West Side thing. I like the graphic. I saw it on Twitter. It's nice. It's kind of classy. You very obviously spent time on it. Jokes aside, you know, I will certainly be following you on there. And congratulations on the professional switch, man. It sounds like all big things ahead.
Thank you. And then for your listeners, I mean, I will be continuing with Locked On Warriors until we figure out the transition thing with the Locked On Podcast Network. So still find me on Locked On Warriors. And like when I leave Locked On Warriors eventually, I'm not sure when it's going to be. I might be doing it into the regular season. I literally have no idea what's going on. But, you know, when I leave Locked On Warriors eventually, Locked On Warriors will still be around. And the Locked On Podcast Network does a really good job of finding hosts who do good work. So they'll be in good hands there. But hopefully I'll still be around on this podcast, Bram. Hopefully this is not the last time you invite me on, despite our tension early on in the episode. But yeah, I guess we'll see how the fantasy league goes.
No promise. That's exactly right. We'll see. If you're terrible in fantasy, absolutely. I love having you on here. If you end up beating me, like I said, no promises.
Well, there's a good chance I'll be returning to this podcast
though. Good. Well, then, yeah, there you go. For us, so this, Wes, is the last non-video version of the Huddle.
Wow.
We're going to start doing video. We're doing it only for our Patreon listeners. And so if you would like to see.
I thought you were going to go to OnlyFans. That's what you were texting.
Oh, I am. No, that's a whole different thing. That's a whole different. And I thought
it's a different. Oh, okay.
I felt like I was pretty clear about keeping that just between you and I. That's weird. But whatever, you know, outside of my OnlyFans presence, we're going to be having a video component to this. If you would like to see our occasionally smiling faces, see a copy of Maxime's tree climbing club card. By the way, this fool, we talked about hobbies last week. And we revealed hobbies that you would never think that somebody would have. And Maxime he's a member of the International Tree Climbing Committee, which so many questions come from there. But anyways, if
didn't he just run like a triathlon or something? Did I see that on Instagram or was that the tree thing?
No, he did. He ran a triathlon. We're going to talk
about
that.
I had no idea he was like so fit. Technology and stuff. I mean, he's your producer. He sets up all the stuff. I'm like, oh, he's kind of like a computer nerd. I just assume you put that label on the guy immediately.
Changed his like body posture and shit. I grabbed a drink with him and he came in, but you could tell he feels like crazy in shape and athletic. It's annoying. Wow. I don't know. I don't like it at all.
Find you a producer who can do both, I guess.
I guess. So if you guys want to see Maxime's newfound athletic prowess or any of our smiling faces, support us up on Patreon. To do that, go to Patreon, look up Warriors Huddle, and you know, for as little as $1 a month, you can make a giant difference for us. With that in mind, go Warriors. Hopefully, see you next week.
Good, good.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.